Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America, everyone. Frank Bassett joining you for a special edition of Golf Talk America, an interview edition post-Olympia Fields, post-BMW Championship, and pre-Atlanta. We're in Atlanta, and 30 survived. Getting ready for the Tour Championship. The FedEx Cup will be awarded, and a big check. So, what we'd like to do with this special edition of Golf Talk America wrap is let you hear from some of the players after their rounds in Chicago at Olympia Fields. Wow, what a fun week it was! It was nippy tuck for the 30, the boys that were at 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, right in that area. It was tough, but it's done, and we're getting ready for Atlanta. So, with that being said, let's move right to some of the post-round interviews, let you hear from them, and then we'll just come back and wrap this thing up.
Scotty, let's look forward to next week for you. You still finished that number one position, you know, you wanted to win today, but mission accomplished in that department.
I mean, I guess so. I don't really care at the moment. You know, I wish I would have finished off the round a little bit better, but played solid golf today. I just, you know, I just didn't hold the putts.
Also, a career round went the other way for you, but next week, do you feel like you just want to finish business in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I'd obviously like to win the FedEx Cup, and I'm in a great position to do that. But, you know, like you said, tip of the cap to victory today. That was a fantastic round of golf. And it may feel like I lost it at the end, but I'm sure when I look back on it, you know, he really just beat me today. That's pretty much it. So tip of the cap to him. It was a great round.
Well, you played great. I appreciate you taking some time.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you.
Scotty, at what point did you realize that there was some crazy special round happening just in front of you?
I'm not really sure. I was just kind of trying to stay in my own little world. I know he was getting going. I didn't know what Victor started at, but I knew he was playing really well. And I was just trying to do my best to keep pushing forward. And you know, I didn't birdie 15, and then missed a birdie putt on 16, and then bogeyed 17, which kind of, I mean, 17 obviously kind of took me out.
You just write this off as one of those days where somebody does something completely extraordinary.
I mean, it's a pretty amazing round of golf to win this tournament like that. I still don't understand how the scores are so low this week. I don't know. This place seems pretty hard to me, but guys are just ripping it up. I mean, 61 is a pretty fantastic round, especially with Sunday pressure, and the way he finished was a really, really fantastic round.
Can you just walk through that chip on 15?
It was just a little bump and run. I landed at maybe a foot short of where I wanted to, and then the second bounce was the one that really got me. I thought I was going to one-hop it onto the green, and the second one landed a bit short, and it just hit that point and kind of stopped.
And, you know, I think because of your disposition, you know, you're not, like, overly expressive. Sometimes it's hard to tell kind of, like, what you're feeling in those moments, like, those succession of holes, like, if it's frustration or it's anger. Like, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about how you actually feel when it kind of goes awry like that late?
I don't really know how to say that. just out there trying to execute shots. That's really all I'm focused on. And I feel like I did a pretty good job of that today. It was just, you know, the putts didn't fall at the end. I felt like I doubted myself a little bit on 16. And then 17, it was weird because I had a lot of those right to lefters today, and it seemed like I was just hitting them barely through the break. I mean, and then, you know, 16 was a putt where it just had a lot more turn than I thought, and then 17 was another one where I felt like I hit my line, and I look up, and it's just stayed on the right edge the whole time. So it's definitely frustrating, but, you know, I approached the shots the way I wanted to today, and, you know, I played some really solid golf. I just didn't hold the putts there at the end.
Scott, I mean, it was such a wild final hour. What are you feeling now?
I mean, I'm just a bit frustrated. I think that would be the way to describe it. You know, I mean, Victor went out and really just beat me today and played a fantastic round. And so, I mean, I can hold my head high. And just, you know, I did my best out there today and fought hard. It just, you know, ultimately came up a couple shots short.
When you said you felt that doubt, was it just on that specific swing, or was it a buildup of anything else? Like what?
No. I'm saying on the putt, I read about 3 inches of break, and I just didn't hit it at the speed that I needed to.
Gotcha.
I felt like I started online. I just didn't have the speed.
Okay.
How do you first round in about 4 days. How do you regroup, reset, refocus?
Get out of here. First of all, go take a shower. step one. No, I'll take some rest tomorrow, and then I'll be out at the course, you know, going through my normal routine on Tuesday. But I'll take all tomorrow off.
Is there an accumulation of when times that you've felt that you've played well enough and not won?
Say that again?
Is there any kind of accumulation of times that you feel that you've played well enough and not won?
I mean, yeah, I think that's something I've touched on a good amount this week is, you know, I'm never satisfied with how my score is at the end of the day. I mean, you know, Victor's probably pretty happy with a 61, but if you ask him, I'm sure he left one shot out there somewhere. You know what I mean? Perfection's unattainable in this game, and, you know, that's something I guess we're always striving for, but we always seem to fall short.
All right, thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall's right around the corner, folks, and HelloFresh is here to help you plan for the busy season ahead with tasty dishes delivered right to your front door or back door, wherever you tell them to deliver it to. Simply choose your recipes and pick your delivery date, then lay back and enjoy the last days of summer knowing dinner is covered. Parents have enough back-to-school shopping and planning to do, so why don't you let HelloFresh get the groceries and save you some cash with pre-portioned meals delivered right to your door. I got to tell you, folks, I use HelloFresh. They've been a sponsor of ours in the past. They're back again as a beloved sponsor because I love cooking HelloFresh meals. They're fantastic, and they just hit the spot. The portions are great. I love them. They're my favorite. So go to HelloFresh.com/50GTA and use code 50GTA for 50% off plus free shipping. That's 50GTA. That's Golf Talk America, right? 50GTA. Use that promo code and you get 50% off, plus you get free shipping. I love HelloFresh. I use it all the time, and it is the best. Go get you some.
Rory, good playing this week. I just got to ask you, what was it like playing with a guy shooting 61 on what is not an easy golf course?
I felt like I played very average right there next to Victor. No, he played amazing. He was, he played incredible. And, I was marking his card in there, and I'm like, oh, he only made 1-4 in the back nine, the rest threes. So that adds up to a nice little 28 for him. But, it was great to see. He played great, and I sort of realized around, like, 14, 15, you know, something was pretty special was happening, and he played a great round of golf.
And what about your own game? What do you take from this week?
Played good tee to green, missed a lot of chances. Sort of similar story to last week in Memphis. So we'll see. I'm gonna go home for a couple of nights, and come back up to Atlanta Tuesday, work on my game a little bit for a day and a half, and go try to win another FedEx Cup.
Rory, do you know what putter you're going to use next week yet?
No, I might dabble with the Spider again on Tuesday, Wednesday at the Tour Championship. I felt like I hit good putts. I held some really good putts, and I missed some short ones, and sort of, again, hard here with the short ones and how much break they had, and then with the green, sort of, I always felt like I was aiming too high, and then I'd miss them low because I just couldn't commit to aiming it so far outside the hole. So getting back on greens that I know pretty well and pretty confident on next week, I'm looking forward to that.
How much confidence are you bringing into next week, a place you obviously enjoy quite a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing great. Tee to green's the best I've played in a long time. Gonna have to drive the ball probably a little straighter, but I felt like I found something on the back nine there today to go with into next week. But overall, I'm in a really good position going into next week, so excited for it.
Just a couple of comments on Victor, who you play with today, who's looking outside to win now.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, that looks like he's going to win after Scotty's bogey there. So, yeah, absolutely amazing golf, amazing playing. Yeah, look, he's had some great wins already this year. Had a great chance at the PGA Championship, didn't quite get it done. But I mean, yeah, look, he's a world class player, and looking forward to him being on my team for the Ryder Cup in a few weeks' time.
Anything in particular impress you most? A shot he hit or something?
He just keeps his foot on the pedal. Just isn't scared. Just keeps going for it. Keeps going at it. You even like the things that people don't realize. You get into that position. The second shot on 17, to pitch it where he pitched it, right by the pin. You look at where Scotty hit his, lands it, you know, 5-7 yards short of the pin. It spins back and he's got a tricky. You know, Victor just keeps his foot on the gas.
Thanks, Roy.
Thank you.
Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You have too many manual processes. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 36,000, 25, and 1. Okay? Let's go at them one by one. 36,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. And then there's 1, because your business is one of a kind. So you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, that's key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. You manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. You know, I was in business for many, many years before I got into radio and TV. And I will tell you that we had dysfunctional systems that didn't talk to each other. So it took forever to get the information we needed to make smart decisions. Well, with the brand new NetSuite product that they're offering right now with an unprecedented offer, you can't go wrong. And their offer that NetSuite's providing makes everything possible for you. So here's what I want you to do. Right now, go download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/golftalk. That's netsuite.com/golftalk to get your own KPI checklist. Folks, you need to do that today. That's netsuite.com/golftalk.
All right, we'd like to welcome our champion, 2023 BMW Championship winner, Victor Hovland. Congratulations, Victor, on a remarkable victory. That final round was pretty impressive. I'll just run through a couple of things first before we get a comment from you, but 61 in the final round. It's the low round by a winner this season on tour. It's also the lowest final round in the FedEx Cup playoffs history. It's your career low round. The 28 on the back nine is your career low nine-hole scores. It's your fifth win on tour and your second this season following the Memorial. It's quite a resume.
That was it.
How are you feeling right now after that dramatic finish?
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't think too much about all those things. I just kind of kept on focusing shot for shot and got closer to Fitzy and Scotty and just kept pouring it on and now we're here. So it's, having had a lot of time to process it, to be honest.
Well, you also win 2,000 FedEx Cup points and moved to number 2 in the standings going into East Lake. So obviously that was a big goal to get as high as you can before heading into that tournament. Five victories this, you know, in your career and 2 this season. Solid playing.
Yeah, thank you. To win at a place like this and amongst the best players in the world, it's pretty cool. And to do it that way, making 7 birdies the last 9 holes to beat those guys, that was pretty cool.
Okay, we'll take some questions. We'll get a microphone to you, and we'll start with Doug over here in the middle.
Victor, just some super quick housekeeping. What were the irons you hit on 17 and 18?
I hit a 9-iron into 17, and I hit a pitching wedge into 18.
And at what point, even though you're starting to pile up some birdies, at what point did winning or catching Scotty and Matt get into your head?
Honestly, I didn't really you know, obviously I wanted to win, but when I made the putt on 15 for birdie, I felt like, okay, this we've got a chance now. If I can finish pretty well, then you never know what's going to happen behind you. But then when I made the birdie on 17, I was feeling really good, and then the birdie on 18 as well, I felt like I could win it outright. But it wasn't until then. I had no idea what was going on. So I was just gonna try to play well and keep making birdies.
Come over the side to Cameron.
Congratulations, Victor. When you get in a flow like that in baseball, if somebody's got a perfect game going, nobody talks to them. They're sort of afraid to say anything. Is it the same in golf? Are people sort of afraid to say anything to you? And if they did say anything, would you even hear them?
I can't speak for what other guys are scared to say, but you know, Rory and I were chatting a little bit coming down the stretch, and I didn't feel like that interrupted whatever zone I was in. It was just kind of, I think it's nice to chat about other things to kind of keep you a little mellow and not think too much about what you need to do. Obviously, that's where your mind is focused at. You want to hit the tee shot in the fairway, hit the iron shot close, and make the putt. But I think it's a nice balance to talk to your caddy, talk to your playing partner, and take your mind a little bit away from that. I honestly don't remember at this point. It was, it was just stupid things, just chatting about anything, really. Seem to help, I guess.
Dave, go ahead.
Victor, congratulations. When you won Memorial, you won it with a lot of different things, including a short game that you said had improved, but it seemed like ball striking was the thing, especially today. Could you maybe just talk about just how well you've been hitting the ball all year?
Yeah, this was really cool to be able to win at this golf course without I had a quick glance at my stats, and I guess I lost a little bit around the green, and to win by doing that at this golf course is that means that you've hit the ball really well and putted it really well, and that's what I've done this week. At Memorial, I think Jack's course is one of those courses where it's just set up to not beat it, if that makes sense. You can play really well and easily miss half of the fairways and miss half of the greens. It's just one of those that's just really tough, whereas Olympia Fields, I think, is a lot more straightforward, if you will. It's still really, really hard, but I hit the ball really straight, so I hit a lot of fairways and I hit a lot of greens, and my putter just caught on fire the last couple of days, and here we are.
Yeah, I think you said out there with Amanda that this probably was the best round of golf you've ever played, given the circumstances. Could you just maybe review that thought again and just how good this was for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. I've gone off to a nice start every single day, and I was 3-under through 5 holes, and felt like I was in a good spot, but bogeying 7 after kind of a bad break off the tee shot, getting stuck in the lip in the rough just over the bunker, and made a bogey there, and missed kind of a nice putt for birdie on 8, and had a pitching wedge in on 9, but didn't get that one close. So it felt like, is this going to be one of those days like the other days where I've got off to a nice start and kind of just played okay and shot 68 or 67 or 66, which, you know, it's a nice score. But after making that turn, stuffed it on 10, hit it close on 11, stuffed it on 12, and that's when I kind of felt like I hit the groove a little bit.
Come over to this side, Victor.
Yeah, hi. So you are heading into Eastlake as the second youngest person in the field and only 3 years older than the youngest FedEx Cup winner ever. Going back to maybe like your 2018 U.S. Amateur win, did you imagine your career taking off as quickly as it did? Like, where are you now compared to where you thought you would be at this age?
Yeah, I could only dream about winning these tournaments back in 2018. That was basically, I think I'd won one college event before winning the U.S. Amateur, and then winning the U.S. Amateur, that kind of changed a lot of things, and got to play in a couple of majors as an amateur, and still had to get my card, and then sweet, I got my PGA Tour card, and then a couple months later, I won my first tour event, and just kind of continuously, I've checked off the boxes, but it's not like I'm expecting to win X amount of tournaments or to win X amount of majors. It's just, okay, this is as good as I am right now. What could I do to get better? And if I get better, I have the chance of winning these events. And whatever happens, happens. And it's been pretty cool to win two events this year at two golf courses that are very difficult. And I've had to rely on all of my skill sets, not just a couple of things.
Got Ryan and then Bo.
Victor, two things. First, why do you think this has been the best year of your career?
If you take everything into account, I felt like in the 21 to 22 season, I putted it better than I had this year, but I putted it okay. My short game's gotten a lot better, and I think I've driven it the best I've ever have in any other season. And then my iron game has been, I would say, just okay for me compared to the other couple of years, I would say. But it's just putting all of that together and then being clutch at the right times at Memorial and obviously this week and having a chance to contend at in those major championships. I think I've taken a big step this year compared to other years.
And secondly, a lot of guys are gassed at this point in the season. I think anyone who follows you on Instagram knows that you play a lot of golf even during your off weeks. Where are you at physically, and how have you been able to kind of sustain this level of effort for this long?
Well, I'm about to pass out right now, but now just a good night's sleep, and we're right back at it next week at East Lake, and I'm sure it'll be hot and we'll be sweating a lot. So I'm definitely feeling that it's been a lot of golf, but it seems like the more I've played recently, I seem to play better. So just need to lean into that, and hopefully we have another good week next week.
Okay, Bob, then Doug, then back to the front.
Victor, what have you ever shot a lower score, even just casually, and do you know the circumstances? And also, how do you keep a good round going? I mean, sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of fear, like as you're going lower and lower to protect maybe, or that you hear other players say that. What's sort of the key to keep pushing?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever shot a lower score than 61. I've shot 61 a couple of times. Never a 59 or even a 60, I think, in even a practice round. So I guess we still got some more work to do. I don't know. When I get into the rhythm of normally I hit a lot of fairways, so I'm a good driver of the ball, so I'm going to have a lot of opportunities from the fairway. And whenever I kind of feel the shot with my irons and can just kind of I can aim left of the pin and swing as committed as I want to, and I know it's going to cut, and I can almost feel how much it's going to cut towards the pin. So it's one of those feelings. I just feel like if you put me in the fairway, I'm going to hit it somewhere close to the pin. And when I do that, and I get the putter rolling, I'm trusting my reads. I got the speed dialed in, and it's just one of those days that just everything seemed to flow and seemed to happen. And I guess I just didn't try to fight it. I just relied on my instincts and my intuition, and worked out this time.
Got a few more lined up. We'll go to the front.
Victor, I just want to ask you back up on 15. Your shot to the green from that tough lie. How tough a shot was that? I mean, it's tough for us to tell, really, for how tough a shot was that to get there?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. I was a little upset that I didn't. I got a little cute with a second shot. I should have just slammed a low three iron and just made sure that, okay, even if I missed it left or right, I was going to be in the bunker, and the bunker shot would have been a lot easier. But it seemed to have I took a little bit off of it and got a soft bounce and ended up in the downslope in the rough there. And it was almost, it was kind of tricky because I had to tilt my shoulders to match the surface. And I didn't have too much green to work with. And at the same time, the ball was sitting up a little bit. So it's one of those, if you try to get all the way down and try to dig it out of the grass, it's easily, you could easily go underneath it. So I kind of had to match that with okay, I need to clip the ball well, but I also need enough loft for it to stop quickly on the green. And it came off a little bit lower than I would have liked, but it came off perfectly and almost went in, but rolled to maybe 8-9 feet past the hole, and that was a nice putt to make.
And I just want to ask you, what's your favorite shot of the day? If it's not that one, do you have another one that your favorite shot of the day?
That's a good question. I mean, the most satisfying shot was, I mean, it was like I hit a nice 4-iron into 8 today and gave myself a nice 15-footer down the slope, but I made a par there. It wasn't like that memorable, but it was maybe one of the more satisfying shots. But one of the memorable shots on the back nine, I pulled my tee shot left on 14, and I had a pretty tricky lie in there in the rough, and I said to Shea, 9-iron's not going to get there. I'm going to have to just hit an 8-iron, and it's going to come out low, and hopefully it releases out the perfect amount. And as soon as I hit it, I just said, go, 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 go. I don't know where it landed, but I just saw it trickling up there, and then it goes to a foot. So it was just one of those days, and that was maybe the perfect shot that encapsulated the whole round.
Doug and then Cameron.
Victor, sheer curiosity, and then another question after this. What is it like sitting in the locker room watching two guys have to hole out on a full swing on the 18th hole for you to win? Is that weird at all? I'm sure it's fun.
Yeah, no, that felt a lot better than them having to make a birdie to make it to a playoff. But yeah, it was pretty relaxed and just kind of, I was just happy about my round and that I was able to, you know, if I would have missed the putt on 18, then I'm sitting in a completely different spot. So after I made a putt on 18, I was like, okay, whatever happens, happens. I've kind of done all that I could do, so we'll just see how this plays out.
And secondly, going into next week, and this is your, I think, your fourth go into the Tour Championship, did you ever feel like you had much of a chance when you were starting 8 or 10 shots behind, and does it feel any, or do you think it will feel any differently when you get there this time?
Yeah, it's so important to be not too many shots behind the lead going into next week, and I think I can't quite remember, but 2 out of the 3 times that I've played, I've been pretty far back. And I've had nice weeks there, but just hasn't been good enough to really chase the leaders. I think I have 1 5th place finished there a couple years ago, which I had a really nice season and played well at East Lake and had a nice finish there. But this time it's going to be a little bit different. Now I'm chasing down the leader, and I've got a whole lot of the guys behind me as well, so it'll be a little different setting, but still just got to play golf.
We'll finish up with Cameron over here on the right.
Victor, I believe you're strategically playing a lot more sort of savvy, smart golf, and I think that was one of the realizations you had this season, that you needed to really embrace that. You won the Memorial. Now you win here. Is that coming more naturally to you now? And do you feel like there's sort of no limit to where you might be able to take this thing now that that's sort of your game, a smarter, savvier game?
Yeah, I think it's one of the easiest things. If you can think better and make better decisions, you can improve your score without necessarily getting better skill set wise or physically. And I think that's one of the things that I've done really well this year. And even just last week was a great reminder. I think I was 2 over the first day, and I had a bad start the second day, and I think I was second to last, like a buddy of mine, after I had a nice round at the end of the day, but he just sent me the screenshot that I was almost dead last in the field, and I still felt like I was in contention on Sunday, you know, an outside chance. And I think that was just a great reminder that, okay, I don't have to play perfect golf to be up there. And I put that mindset into this week, and I felt like I played solid and nice golf the whole week, but I shot 1-under on Thursday, 2-under on Friday, and you wouldn't really think that, oh man, I'm 7 shots behind Max. That was at 10-under. But that's something that Joe and I have talked to each other a lot about, is that, you know, just because you're 7 shots with the weekend to go, it doesn't mean you're out of it. So you just got to make good decisions, always just plug along, and if you're right there, you might just snatch it and win. So I feel like that last week was a great learning experience, and obviously proved that this week.
Victor, before we let you go, you had a great moment today, shooting 61, winning the championship, but there was a pretty sweet little moment yesterday afternoon after your round where you got to meet someone that you probably changed her life. Can you just comment on that, that meeting, and how meaningful that was for you?
Yeah, obviously after making a hole-in-one last year, Evan Scholar, they awarded Deanna free education at University of Illinois, and she's going to study agriculture and was it environmental engineering. See, I that's not something I could do if I went to school for that. But no, that's super impressive. I mean, obviously I work hard and I show up out here because I want to play good golf. But to see the things that actually, you know, this just because I made a hole in one, that allowed her to pursue a pretty cool degree in something that's hopefully going to change her life and set her up for the rest of her life. And I think it's pretty cool to just be a part of that and have something to do with that. So that was very special.
It was a satisfying week all around for you. Congratulations on being the champion this year.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
Well, so there you have it. We are ready for Atlanta. We're ready to go on our way to the state of Georgia to be there live for the Tour Championship. Hope you enjoyed the interviews, and we'll have a lot more this week from the Tour Championship. For Tim Matthews, I'm Frank Bassett saying thanks for listening, and we will catch you later.